claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I've been getting a lot of help from experts these days in investigating Sandy Hook. I have a major development to report at the later on in the show. I don't want to distract you from the stories of what's going on in Ukraine just yet. The U.S., it turns out, is flying a fleet of every type of spy plane it has to feed Ukraine intelligence. This is a very bad idea. Ukraine is getting the kind of support the Saudis are getting in Yemen. As hawkish members of both parties in the press call on President Biden to pursue military involvement in Ukraine, including by implementing a no-fly zone, a complicated tightrope backed by U.S. intelligence is receiving relatively little public attention. That is, from the American public, you can be damn sure the Russians are aware of it. Current and former U.S. officials knowledgeable about the operations reported the U.S. military has deployed extensive ISR, or intelligence surveillance and reconnaissance assets, to countries neighboring Ukraine to monitor developments within the embattled nation. The sophisticated intelligence regime requires a Biden administration to walk a fine line in which one wrong step could spell disaster. Providing Ukraine with as much assistance as possible without becoming an active participant in the war and risking a direct conflict with nuclear-armed Russia. The balance relies on the assumption that Russia will recognize and respect the United States' compliance with its self-imposed rules. Very doubtful, in my opinion. As a former Marine Corps officer, I would regard this as aiding and abetting the enemy, and therefore making oneself complicit in military acts against Russia. The assets are largely aircraft tasked with flying along the border between Ukraine and its NATO-allied neighbors, which must be careful not to cross into Ukrainian airspace. Capable of peering deep inside the country, the aircraft glean intelligence that's then passed on to the Ukrainians, according to two former U.S. officials, knowledgeable about current operations. The aircraft include MQ-9 Reaper drones, Boeing RC-135 rivet joints, and Boeing E-3 Sentry AWACS, which have been used to eavesdrop on communication and collect imagery intelligence, according to one of the former officials, a retired CIA officer. A current U.S. Army signals intel officer said the U.S. had deployed many of the ISR assets to neighboring countries in February, following Russia's massive troop buildup along the Ukrainian border. Open source flight data shows the same models of aircraft positioned over Poland, Romania, and the Black Sea. Crossing into Ukrainian airspace could turn the United States into a direct combatant in the conflict, heightening the risk of a nuclear confrontation. The same risk surrounds the provision of certain kinds of intelligence. According to the former CIA official, the United States is only providing finished intelligence, meaning it's already been processed by the U.S., as opposed to raw intelligence like real-time audio feeds or communication intercepts, intel that has been decluttered and therefore that much more useful and actionable. The U.S. is using a variety of drone and fixed-wing collective assets to obtain tactical information of the battlefield, the official said. The intelligence is then passed on to the Ukrainians through a liaison officer. But the U.S. is not providing real-time intelligence that would normally be provided to U.S. forces involved on the ground. But these distinctions are set on the United States' own terms. And despite best efforts, there are always risks of accidents in which intelligence operations can run afoul of red lines. On Sunday, a Russian drone briefly crossed into Poland, a NATO member, leading to a warning from the alliance that it could respond with force, an alarming threat of direct confrontation with Russia. The drone was conducting the same kind of surveillance operations as U.S. ISR aircraft do along Ukraine's borders. While the Biden admin tries to support Ukraine with allowing the U.S. to become an active belligerent itself, Russia may not see it this way. Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rybkov has already warned that the military would consider weapon shipments to Ukraine as legitimate targets. On Sunday, Russia launched a deadly airstrike on a Ukrainian military facility just 15 miles from the Polish border, killing at least 35, injuring 134. The Russian government called the facility where NATO has trained Ukrainian forces and where U.S. troops had been stationed up until a few weeks ago a training center for foreign mercenaries and a storage center for foreign weapon shipments. In addition to the intelligence support, the U.S. and NATO are also providing substantial arms assistance, having reportedly sent Kiev over 17,000 anti-tank weapons in less than a week. Wednesday, Congress approved a bill for $13.6 billion in emergency assistance for Ukraine, containing both security and humanitarian aid. Biden announced the same day the U.S. is sending $800 million and more weapons, including anti-aircraft systems, anti-armor systems, small arms, machine guns, shotguns, grenade launchers, and drones. How would you regard that if you were Russia? An MQ-9 drone pilot with U.S. military also reported Reapers have been deployed to the region. He said the U.S. was using MQ-9 services leased from private contractors before withdrawing them and replacing them with government assets, which he said would have been slower to stand up. NBC News reported Tuesday the administration is also considering small kamikaze drones called Switchblades. Think about it. Kamikaze drones? How can the U.S. be claim not to be a belligerent if it's sending kamikaze drones? The U.S. has particular experience with this type of indirect weapon and intelligence assistance against Russia, having previously sent arms to Syrian rebels combating the Russian-backed regime of President Bashar al-Assad, whom most of you know by now is a democratically elected president of Syria, where we cannot be bringing democracy to Syria because Syria is already a democracy. Although Biden has called for an end to Saudi Arabia's U.S.-backed war in Yemen, the Defense Department also gives intelligence and weapon support to the Saudi regime, which is engaged in a brutal offensive that's resulted in the world's worst humanitarian crisis. And there's the United States right in their pitching. The United States amplifies data its intelligence can confirm while discrediting what it cannot validate in order to support partners in the region without being considered an active combatant. A retired U.S. Air Force general with experience leading operations in the Middle East has reported. If the U.S. has information that a production facility also serves as a prison, for example, it will tell its partner that the target has other uses to be considered before attacking. Two other retired military officers confirmed that such information-sharing functions take place this way. The United States would not, the retired general explained, share its sources and methods. The president and defense secretary decide how much collaboration to green light, and that intent is trickled down through the combat commanders in the context of Ukraine, the head of the U.S. European Command. Beyond these measures, the United States intelligence involvement in Ukraine has also included a secret CIA training program, as Yahoo News reported Wednesday. Under the program, following Russia's annexation of Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula in 2014, a small group of CIA paramilitary officers was sent into the country to train the Ukrainians in the use of Javelin anti-tank missiles, sniper techniques, and covert communications. The report noted that the Biden administration has since ended the program following concerns that its authorities might be too broad and pulled all CIA personnel out of Ukraine last month under the threat of a Russian invasion. Along similar lines, The Intercept reported last week that shortly after Biden's inauguration, his CIA director, William Burns, sought to temporarily halt certain covert operations related to Russia that U.S. officials consider risky or provocative. House Armed Services Committee Chair Adam Smith, a Democrat from Washington, has stressed it's essential that the U.S. does not provide real-time targeting intelligence to Ukraine. We have to help Ukraine in every way we can without widening the war and stumbling into World War III, he said Wednesday on CNN. As we stand with the Ukrainian people, we must avoid the knee-jerk calls to make this conflict even worse, said Ilhan Omar, Democrat of Minnesota, prominent member of the squad, front and also on the House Foreign Services Committee on the House floor Thursday. Condemning calls for a no-fly zone and other military escalation, she warned, and remember, she is among the most extreme progressive members of the United States Congress. She warned, even in the madness of the Cold War, leaders around the world understood that nuclear war would mean the annihilation of humanity. There are voices now that are shockingly casual about the risk of nuclear war. I'm asking the American people, do not believe that. In this instance, Ilhan Omar has got it right. Meanwhile, Russia debuts a new hypersonic missile in a strike on a Ukrainian munitions depot. The war in Ukraine is about to take a dark turn as Russian forces deploy the use of hypersonic missiles. This marks the first time Russia has used hypersonic missiles in combat. The Kinzhal hypersonic missiles were used by Russian forces to destroy an underground communication storage facility in Delyatnin, Ivano-Frankivsk Oblast. The Daily Star reported information on the attack remains scant, but Russia has long boasted about its hypersonic weapon arsenal, which contains missiles that can evade traditional anti-missile defense systems. Have no doubt about it. The Russians have the best anti-missile missiles, the best anti-submarine torpedoes, the best anti-ship missiles. They're unstoppable. The missiles include the 3M22 Zircon, which is a low-flying rocket able to speed past early detection technology. It and other similar weapons in the Russian arsenal have a range of around 1,000 kilometers. Russia now, in another report from RT, says it struck another mercenary base in Ukraine. More than 100 Ukrainian special op troops and foreign soldiers of fortune were eliminated, according to Moscow. Russian forces hit a Ukrainian special forces training center early on Sunday, killing more than 100 local troops and foreign mercenaries, the Ministry of Defense has reported. A Ukrainian Special Operation Forces training center near the town of Overich in the northern Zhytomyr region, which hosted the mercenaries, was targeted by high-precision air-launched missiles, military spokesman Igor Konasherkov said during a briefing. The airstrike has eliminated more than 100 Ukrainian special ops and foreign soldiers of fortune. A week ago, Russia destroyed another mercenary base at the Yavorup range in the western Lviv region, saying that up to 180 foreign fighters were killed there. Kiev disputed the numbers, put the death toll at 35. It also insisted all those who died in the attack were Ukrainian. However, reports emerged of mercenaries fleeing to neighboring Poland in large numbers after the strike. Some would-be combatants have complained on social media that the conflict turned out to be not what they expected. Russia has warned it was aware of all the locations of mercenaries in the territory of Iran and promised to continue targeting them without mercy. all for the responsibility for death in this category of foreign citizens in Ukraine rests solely with the leadership of these countries, who encourage its people to answer to Kiev's repeated calls for help in the conflict. Moscow sent its troops into Ukraine last month following a 7-year standoff over Kiev's failure to implement the terms of the Minsk Agreement and Russia's eventual recognition of the breakaway Donbass republics of Donetsk and Luhansk. The German and French brokered protocols have been designed to regularize the status of those regions within the Ukrainian state. Russia has now demanded the Ukraine officially declare itself a NATO, a neutral country that will never join the U.S.-led NATO military bloc. Kiev insists the Russian offensive was completely unprovoked and has denied claims they have been planning to retake the two republics by force. Citizens of which countries have applied to join Ukraine's Foreign Legion? According to Ukraine's government, 20,000 foreign volunteers from 52 countries have joined the International Legion of Territorial Defense of Ukraine, 31% from the United States, 18% from the UK, 6.8% from Germany, 4.7% from Canada. Other countries contributing include Croatia, Israel, Latvia, Denmark, Netherlands, Poland. Meanwhile, pushing a major country to the corner, China blames NATO expansion for Ukraine war, where China's got it right. A Chinese diplomat says NATO should stick to what he claimed was a promise not to expand eastward. In a speech Saturday, Chinese Vice Foreign Minister Liu Qian criticized the far-reaching Western sanctions imposed on Russia after it invaded Ukraine and said the root cause of the war in Ukraine lies in the Cold War mentality and power politics. Echoing a Kremlin talking point, which happens to be true, the Chinese envoy said that if NATO's enlargement goes further, it would be approaching the outskirts of Moscow, where a missile could hit the Kremlin within 7 or 8 minutes. Pushing a major country, especially a nuclear power, to the corner would entail repercussions too dreadful to contemplate. He expressed an understanding for Russian President Putin's often repeated position, saying NATO should have disintegrated and then been consigned to history alongside the Warsaw Pact. However, rather than breaking up, NATO has kept strengthening and expanding and intervened militarily in countries like Yugoslavia, Iraq, Syria, and Afghanistan. Don't let me overlook Libya, where NATO was used to slaughter what may have been the most humane society ever manifest on Earth. He said, one could well anticipate the consequences going down this path. The crisis in Ukraine is a stern warning. He said, Chinese President Xi Jinping, in talks with U.S. President Biden Friday, urged the parties in Ukraine to demonstrate, quote, political will and keep the dialogue and negotiation going. The U.S. and NATO should also have dialogue with Russia to address the crux of the Ukrainian crisis and ease the security concerns of both Russia and Ukraine. Meanwhile, Paul Craig Roberts has issued a splendid essay that I think disambiguates some issues that are confounding even very good people as they contemplate what's going on here when they think that Putin is a globalist. Here's what Paul Craig Roberts has written. Putin acknowledges that Russia has launched a war of annihilation against Russia. Let me say, that's very bad news for the West. In his speech to the Assembly of National, Regional, and District Leaders on Russia's response to the sanction, Putin first factually describes the situation in Ukraine, how it developed, and Russia's objective. It stands in striking contrast to Western propaganda. Putin's speech is also notable because he acknowledges that Russia has a fifth column that operates against her for the West. Quote, yes, of course. They will try to rely on the so-called fifth column on national traitors, on those who earn money here but live there and live not in the geographical sense of the word, but according to their slave consciousness. Putin then speaks of Russians who have villas in Miami or on the French Riviera, who cannot do without foie gras, oysters and so-called gender freedom. These people are inherently mentally located there and not in Russia, and not with our people, not with Russia. Such people are ready to sell their mother if only they were allowed to sit in the hallway of the West's highest caste. They want to be part of the West, but they forget or do not understand that the West needs them only as expendable material to use to inflict maximum damage on our people. Quote, the collective West is trying to split our society, speculating on combat losses, on the socioeconomic consequences of sanctions to provoke a civil confrontation in Russia, and using its fifth column, seeks to achieve its goal. And the only goal, as I've already said, is the destruction of Russia. Those are Vladimir Putin's words. Putin describes the situation as a state of war, the West purpose being the destruction of Russia. Diplomacy has been unable to defuse the West's intent to subvert Russia to slave status within the empire of lies. Russia has endured provocations for years in hope that reason would prevail in the West, but to no avail. Ukraine was a final straw. Ukraine's refusal to abide by the Minsk Agreement, 8 years of shelling the Donbass Russians, a militarization of Ukraine by Washington, the prospect of Ukraine acquiring nuclear weapons, the discovered biowarfare labs operating in conjunction with Washington, and the rejection by the West of Russia's security concern left no alternative to Russian military intervention. That's a very clear statement of the situation that you are not going to hear from the mainstream media. The intervention is limited and does not intend to occupy Ukraine. Paul Craig Roberts adds, and I agree, I suspect Russia will be forced to occupy Ukraine in order to prevent Washington against militarizing Ukraine and reorganizing the Russophile neo-Nazi elements. Russia is in fantasy land if she thinks any signed agreement will mean anything. That's why we're in this predicament in the first place, I would add. From the Western prostitutes, and that's Paul Craig Roberts' way of combining the press with prostitutes because they're paid to lie, a person would never know that there is a Russian side. Western people need to read Putin's speech to see the Russian side of the story. By the way, his original speech on the 24th of February is archived on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. Read it through and you will be impressed by his grasp of the history and the military political consequences of what's taken place in that region of Europe since the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991. Russia has been the good guy, the West, the bad. Putin's speech shows a better comprehension of this situation than previously when Russian diplomacy treated the obvious aggression from the West as misunderstandings on the part of its Western partners that could be clarified via diplomatic meetings. The Kremlin now understands that this assumption was pure folly. Putin's speech also shows that Kremlin's comprehension is not complete. Putin shows himself to be still committed to globalism, which means he does not yet understand that Russian sovereignty is inconsistent with globalism. Under globalism, the only sovereign country is the one that runs the globalism, and that is not Russia. Indeed, that's the World Economic Forum or the Rothschild Banking Empire. It is most certainly not Russia, nor for that matter the United States. Putin also virtue signals that unlike the West, Russia will respect private property and not confiscate the Russian assets of the sanctioning countries that have confiscated Russian property, including the reserves of the Russian Central Bank, that were either incompetently or in an act of treason held in enemy countries where they could be easily stolen. Remember, in politics, nothing happens by accidents, as FDR long since observed. Russia's continuing commitment to globalism and to Western financial norms, which work only for the West, are the Achilles heel in Russia's response to the war of annihilation that Washington has launched against Russia. So far, Washington is winning the war for the simple reason that Russia is always responding to Washington's initiatives and never being proactive. I would disagree to the following extent. Russia has been proactive by invading Ukraine. And I believe that Putin is going to rapidly put together two and two and understand that if the West is out to annihilate Russia, Russia may have to take sterner steps in order to thwart that effort. And believe me, Russia is fully capable of doing that. We know, for example, that Russia has submarines off of the East Coast that are capable of detonating dirty bombs that would contaminate the entire East Coast of the United States for perhaps 150 or more years. Imagine the economic devastation that would ensue thereby. We are treading on very thin ice. And when we have two baboons, two complete and utter morons, and completely incompetent as the highest officials of the United States, our prospects, sad to say, are very bad, very dim, very grim indeed. Would I could be more optimistic, but after stealing the election of 2020, Biden has done nothing but damage to the United States, canceling our energy independence, putting to boot the XL pipeline, drilling on public lands, allowing millions to come across the borders to completely disrupt, creating mass resentment by those that came across legally and have earned what they got when the Democrats want to give them a red carpet citizenship, the works, Social Security at your and my expense. Where the supply line problems, we know from a deputy secretary of the Treasury, are a matter of policy by Biden until everyone is vaxxed. Don't hear of it. The vax is the death jab. The pandemic is fake, but the vax is all too real. The statistics back it up. We'll be right back after this break.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, multiple sources are reporting that proof that the U.S. created and weaponized COVID in Ukraine and Georgia is a first step. An analysis of the information received indicates Ukrainian specialists are not aware of the potential risks of transferring biomaterials. The Russian Defense Ministry continues to study materials received from employees of Ukrainian laboratories on the implementation of military biological programs of the U.S. and its NATO allies on the territory of Ukraine. Western mass media and some biologists, who most often have a second American citizenship, express doubt about the reliability of the materials published by us. That would be Veterans Today. I'd like to draw your attention to the fact that documents have the signatures of real officials and are certified by the seals of organizations. We believe that components of biological weapons were created on the territory of Ukraine. Here is a document dated March 6, 2015, confirming the Pentagon's direct participation in the financing of military biological projects in Ukraine. According to established practice, American projects in the field of sanitation in third countries, including in Africa and Asia, are funded through national health authorities. I'd like to draw your attention to the fact that the agreement on joint biological activities was conducted between the U.S. Military Department and Ministry of Health of Ukraine. However, the real recipient of funds are the laboratories of the Ukrainian Ministry of Defense located in Kiev, Odessa, Lvov, and Kharkov. The total funding amounted to $32 million. It is no coincidence these biolabs were chosen by the U.S. Defense Threat Reduction Agency and the contractor company Black and Veatch as the executors of the UP8 project aimed at studying the pathogens of the Congo-Crimean hemorrhagic fever, leptospirosis, and hantaviruses. The corresponding request of the Pentagon to involve Ukrainian laboratories for the implementation of the project is presented on the slide. From our point of view, the interest of the U.S. military biologists is due to the fact that these pathogens have natural foci both on the territory of Ukraine and in Russia, and their use can be disguised as natural outbreaks of diseases. That is why this project has received additional funding and the terms of its implementation have been extended. A study of the documents on the part of the P781 project on the study of ways of transmitting diseases to humans through bats showed that the work was carried out on the basis of a laboratory in Kharkov together with the infamous R. Luger Center in Tbilisi. The total cost of the Pentagon for its implementation in Ukraine and Georgia amounted to $1.6 million, most of which was received by Ukraine as the main contractor. The documents received by the Russian Ministry of Defense indicate that research in this area is systematic and has been conducted at least since 2009 under the direct supervision of specialists from the United States within the framework of Project P-382, P-444, and P-568. One of the curators of this activity was the head of the Defense Office at the U.S. Embassy in Kiev, Joanna Wintrow. Maybe journalists should talk to her. During the implementation of these projects, six families of viruses, including coronaviruses, and three types of pathogenic bacteria, pathogens of plague, Brucella, and leptospirosis, were identified. This is due to the main characteristics of these pathogens that make them favorable for the purposes of infection: resistance to drugs, rapid speed of spread from animals to humans, and more. It is necessary to note a number of documents confirming the transfer of bioassays selected in Ukraine to the territory of third countries, including Germany, Great Britain, and Georgia. Here are official documents confirming the transfer of 5,000 samples of blood serum of Ukrainian citizens to the R. Luger Center affiliated with the Pentagon in Tbilisi. 773 bioassays were transferred to the Reference Laboratory of Great Britain. An agreement has been signed for the export of unlimited quantities of infectious materials to the Leffler Institute in Germany. An analysis of the information received indicates that Ukrainian specialists are not aware of the potential risks of transferring biomaterials, are being used essentially blindly, and have no real idea of the true purpose of the research being conducted. I, these are the editors of ET, would like to draw attention to outbreaks of economically significant diseases on the territory of the Russian Federation. In 2021 alone, the damage from highly pathogenic avian influenza exceeded 1.7 billion rubles, and 6 million heads of poultry were destroyed. At the same time, in European countries, the losses of the agriculture industry from it amounted to about 2 billion euros. Within the framework of the flu flyway project, the Kharkov Institute of Veterinary Medicine studied wild birds as vectors for the spread of highly pathogenic avian influenza. At the same time, the conditions under which spread process can become unmanageable, cause economic damage, and pose risks to food security have been assessed. These documents confirm the involvement of the Kharkov Institute in the collection of avian influenza viral strains with high epidemic potential and capable of overcoming the interspecific barrier. The activities of this institute should be subject of an international investigation. Information continues to be received about attempts to destroy biomaterials and documentation in laboratories in Ukraine. We know that during the liquidation measures in the laboratory of veterinary medicine in Klin-Dvorskoy, working employees, citizens of Ukraine, were not even allowed into the building. This laboratory cooperates with the Anti-Plague Research Institute, named after Mechnikov in Odessa, which conducts research with pathogens of plague, anthrax, cholera, tularema, arboviruses, in an attempt to cover their tracks. Biological waste from the laboratory in Kelidarskoye was taken 120 kilometers away toward the western border to the area of Taruntino and Berezino settlements. All these facts are recorded by the Ministry of Defense for subsequent legal assessment. It's necessary to mention the emergency destruction of documents at the Kherson Biological Laboratory. One of the reasons for such a rush may be the concealment of information about the outbreak of dioflurasis, a disease transmitted by mosquitoes that occurred in Kherson in 2018. The question arises why four cases of infection were detected in February, which is unusual for the life cycle of these insects. In April of 2018, representatives of the Pentagon visited local healthcare institutions where they got acquainted with the results of the epidemiological investigation and copied medical documentation. However, no documentary evidence has been found concerning this outbreak in the Kherson laboratory. Proceeding from this, we believe that the urgency of destroying such documentary evidence is explained by the desire to prevent them from getting into Russian specialists. In addition, attention is drawn to the fact of a sharp increase in cases of tuberculosis caused by new multi-resistant strains among citizens living in Luhansk and Donetsk People's Republic in 2018. These data are confirmed by specialists from Rosprobenzor, which is a Russian scientific institute. So they may have been trying to kill the Russians in Luhansk and Donetsk by using these bacteriological agents. During the mass outbreak recorded in the area of the Pesky settlement, more than 70 cases of the disease were detected, which ended in a rapidly fatal outcome. This may indicate a deliberate infection or an accidental leakage of the pathogen from one of the biolabs located on the territory of Ukraine. In accordance with the Convention on the Prohibition of Biological and Toxin Weapons, a participating state submit to the UN information about objects and ongoing biological activities. These are confidence-building measures that are published in order to monitor the implementation of the convention. Since 2016, the moment of the beginning of the implementation of the projects mentioned by us, including UP4, UP8, and P781, the U.S. and Ukraine have been deliberately silent about them in international reporting, despite their obvious military biological orientation. Just think of what scums we are here in the United States to be participating in these biowarfare lab research. Such secrecy is another reason to think about the true goals of the Pentagon in Ukraine. I would like to remind you of the historical facts when such irresponsible activities of the United States outside of national jurisdiction ended only with formal apologies from the American administration. So, in October of 2010, U.S. President Obama acknowledged the fact of conducting illegal research on Guatemalan citizens who were intentionally infected with syphilis and gonorrhea pathogens with the approval of the White House. The Russian Federation has repeatedly called for the publication of data on the military biological activities of the Pentagon on the territory of third countries, but the collective West, led by the United States, constantly blocks this initiative, preferring to conduct research bypassing international obligations with someone else's hands. We will continue to study the evidence and inform the world community about the illegal activities of the Pentagon and other U.S. government agencies in Ukraine. Meanwhile, on March 9th of 2022, the U.S. Department of State issued an official press report. Here it sets refuting really means rebutting all chemical weapons claims made by Russia. There's an important difference between a rebuttal and a refutation. A rebuttal is an answer, reply, or argument to the contrary. A refutation is a successful rebuttal. But there can be nothing successful about the American rebuttals. It is embarrassingly bad. Meanwhile, I want you to listen to this fabulous report here where we have a journalist who's actually speaking the truth. Catch this.
Okay. Apparently she's not quite ready yet. Let's keep it going then.
I'm ready. Can you hear me?
There you are.
We got her.
It's so great. We didn't see you pop up right away. Laura, great to have you this morning. I wanted to start with this breaking news overnight that it appears, and there you are. You popped up for us. It's so great to see you. Daily Mail has a very interesting story that's saying that Vladimir Putin essentially may be running out of bullets, that he might have a week and a half, 2 weeks max. He's losing warplanes, tanks, all the rest of it. He obviously went into this thinking he was going to bulldoze his way through Ukraine. He's obviously caused a lot of destruction. Don't want to minimize the fact there's over 2 million refugees. But this has not gone as well as Vladimir Putin expected.
I don't buy it for a second, Ed. I'll be honest with you. I really think that there's so much misinformation. We've never really seen anything like it. I mean, I've been covering wars now for 35 years, and I have never seen people with their nails done in the Ukrainian flag, right? I mean, we're being corralled into this box where we either have to hate Vladimir Putin and believe everything evil that's said about him and love Ukraine, and there's no in between. And that reminds me a lot of you're either, you know, a white supremacist or you go with the Democrat narrative on everything under the sun. So Vladimir Putin knew exactly what he was doing when he went into Ukraine. The Russian military isn't perfect. They, for example, I've spoken to multiple defense specialists and intelligence specialists from the Defense Intelligence Agency who've studied the Russian military for years. They do have a difficulty mounting complex air operations because they do very little training hours in comparison to, for example, the United States air assets, right, our fighter jet pilots. But Russia is not struggling. What Russia has done from the very beginning has been very strategic. They didn't go straight to Kiev. They went to all those bioweapons laboratories that are scattered all over the country. Some of them they built, so they know where they are. They've known where they are since the Soviet Union, because under the Defense Threat Reduction Program, we went in after the fall of the Soviet Union and supposedly turned those facilities from bioweapons labs into public health labs. Although, you know, these days it's hard to believe anything that our leaders tell us because they've lied about COVID, they lied about Russia collusion, they lied about the Ukraine impeachment trial, and there's so much more going on in Ukraine that nobody is talking about. You see such dishonesty when it comes to the history of Ukraine. You see dishonesty when it comes to the Azov Battalion, which is funded by the U.S. and NATO. I mean, you can find pictures of them online holding up the NATO flag and the swastika at the same time. Their own emblem contains the black sun of the occult, which was a Nazi SS emblem. And it also contains the sideways, you know, lightning insignia of the SS. I mean, this is on throughout the Ukrainian military. You can see that black sun of the occult on their body armor, even on the female soldiers who are paraded in front of the world as being, you know, such an example of Ukraine's independence and spirit and nobility. Even they are wearing the black sun of the occult. And, you know, the White House wants you to believe, well, this doesn't matter. It's just a small number of troops. It's not true. The Azov Battalion has been murdering its way through eastern Ukraine.
Yeah.
We don't want to admit this. This was why Crimea voted for independence. This is why Crimea wanted to be with Russia. Because we in the media, in the Western media and in the West, won't acknowledge the reality of what's gone on. Western Ukraine backed the Nazis. It was a headquarters for the Nazi SS. The CIA under Alan Dulles actually gave immunity from prosecution to the Nazis of Ukraine from the Nuremberg trials. So there's a long history of the United States and our intelligence agencies funding and arming Nazis in Ukraine. These are not like new neo-Nazi groups that sprung up. These are the actual Nazis from the Second World War, who, if you go back to the Nuremberg trials, said that they were planning for a 1,000-year Reich. And so you have to really wonder as you look at this, when you know that the CIA sponsored the color revolution in Ukraine in 2013 and 14, that they selected Ukraine's leaders, go to Victoria Nuland's leaked phone conversation where she and the U.S. ambassador are deciding who can lead Ukraine. I mean, there's as much interference here as you could possibly imagine before get to Hunter Biden, Nancy Pelosi, John Kerry, and Mitt Romney, and all of their children who are employed, who earn millions from Ukrainian gas companies.
Yeah, you're pointing, pardon me, to a real credibility crisis for our leaders. I'm going to let Karen Turk jump in.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up the fact that President Zelensky is Jewish, and I don't know exactly how this factors in, but there's some very interesting points in what you're saying. And looking at this, you know, you could think it's political theatrics. You know, made a very good point at the beginning that you think that Putin is in control. And I actually want to play something that Jen Psaki said, because it seems that the White House is actually echoing that sentiment. Watch this.
Well, the end game is really a question for President Putin. We have completely crushed his economy. We have provided military assistance, humanitarian assistance to the Ukrainians, enabling them to fight back for far longer than the Russian leadership anticipated. And again, he has to determine what the path forward looks for like for him. Thanks, everyone.
He's determining what this looks like. And I think that's a lot of what you said, Laura. I'd love to get your thoughts on that, what you just watched.
What troubles me about the moment that we're in is that we have such a selective and a narrow reading of history. You know, President Zelensky may be Jewish, but he's not the only one in this who suffered during the Second World War, whose ancestors suffered, right? I mean, look at Putin. How many relatives did he lose in the siege of St. Petersburg? People don't know their history. They don't know what made Vladimir Putin. And I'm not defending him. I don't need to defend Vladimir Putin. My job as a journalist is to try to understand what is the truth here. I don't like being lied to. And we're being lied to on an epic scale. When we're told your only choice is you have to be 100% with Zelensky, who's a puppet, who you can find on the internet in black stilettos and leather pants, you know, with shirtless, doing a spoof Dancing with the Stars kind of entertainment video. That's a mock of a Ukrainian group that does this kind of satanic occult type of music video. And I mean, Zelensky was selected like so many of our leaders. And honestly, with big tech and with election fraud these days, we don't know how many leaders all around the world have been selected for us and weren't actually voted in. But what we do know is that there are increasing problems with technology and the digitization of our world. Because look at what's happening with COVID. Look at what has happened globally. We are fighting the same battles all over the world. To pretend that this war is about Russia and Ukraine is just a barefaced lie. If Putin has been warning for 15 years that he is not going to stand by while the globalists take over the world, build bioweapons facilities and whatever else they're doing in Ukraine, Ukrainian oligarchs. Ukraine has been a center of money laundering for, you know, many of the leaders in this country for how long? Billions of U.S. dollars have been laundered through Ukraine, and we say nothing about it. These are our tax dollars. I mean, before the impeachment trial, had you ever heard of anyone in the United States? I mean, us bringing in foreign governments to the White House for anti-corruption training. I mean, does nobody question these things? Why do we not question them? We have an idiot like Lieutenant Colonel Vindman who goes at the impeachment trial and sits there as a lieutenant colonel. He didn't even make colonel. And he's telling the president of the United States what his policy should be. You have a traitor in the form of Maria Yovanovitch, who was Obama's ambassador, who's telling Ukrainian government officials, don't listen to the will of the American people. Don't listen to the election results. We are the true leaders of America. I mean, and then people object when the woman isn't even fired. She's given a cushy job for life at Georgetown University at the expense of the U.S. taxpayer. And we're told that the president of the United States cannot say to his foreign counterparts, you know, that we want you to look into something. But Joe Biden, can withhold as much aid as he wants to. I mean, there's so much hypocrisy and dishonesty here. And Ukraine is at the center of it all. Go back to Russia collusion. Go to Alexander Chalupa. Go to Eric Caramella, the whistleblower who went to work for Adam Schiff, who wasn't really a whistleblower, and all those corrupt people in the deep state. And you know what? The deep state isn't a theory. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's an actual deep state. Look up the SES, the Senior Executive Service. because when that bureaucracy was ushered into law in the United States of America, that's when we got a bunch of unelected bureaucrats pulling the strings behind the scenes. And these are the people that keep lying to us.
Absolutely. And pardon me, we've got a live chat where we're streaming on Getter, for example, and I'm watching it as you're talking. People are talking about how you're dropping truth bombs and you're a real journalist. And I know that having worked alongside you for many, many years when you're at CBS and many other places, and maybe they didn't want to hear the truth, but you're dropping those truth bombs now. Unfortunately, we've got to hit a break right now. We'd love to have you back in the days ahead. We'd love having you on. Laura Logan, thanks for joining us on Real America's Voice.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, we'll certainly have a...
Now, that was simply sensational, and as you heard at the end, the anchor was congratulating Laura Logan for her acts of journalism, which in this day and age are very few and far between. And notice how she was mentioning, among other key points, that Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, John Kerry, Mitt Romney all have financial entanglements in Ukraine involving either themselves or their children. This is grotesque. We have a corrupt Congress that's being run by corrupt Democrats and by a scumbag Republican in name only named Mitt Romney, who makes a career as a vulture capitalist, taking successful companies and breaking them up and selling them off in parts to make himself rich. This man is an absolute disgrace to America. Obviously, he has pretensions. He is self-deluded, as self-deluded as Jesse Smollett, I would suggest, in thinking the world revolves around him. And anyone who missed, we see so little justice in America that even a slam dunk case against a Jussie Smollett, who hired his personal trainer and an extra on the set of Empire to pretend to be rednecks, both of whom Nigerian bodybuilders whom he paid with a $3,500 personal check, where the evidence is suddenly overwhelming, has been let out. He has been let out of the Cook County Jail while he's under appeal. This is a disgrace, and we see too much special treatment of the privileged elite and their children. We'll be right back.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Are you awake yet? I hope.
We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, the various strands of the COVID hoax, the pandemic fraud, and the role of Anthony Tony the Rat Fauci and Francis Collins, both at NIH, are gradually becoming disentangled. The whole dimensions are becoming increasingly apparent. This is going to be the greatest scandal in the history of the world, the greatest fraud. This exceeds the moon landing hoax, JFK, 9/11, this is the granddaddy of them all. Unbelievable. Unfortunately, it's going to come at enormous cost to humanity. My estimate is 2 billion are going to die because of the vax. 2 billion and possibly more. Hopefully none of you. But you can anticipate for a certainty. Friends, relatives, neighbors, hopefully not people you love, but it cannot be ruled out, are going to suffer serious adverse effects or even death as a consequence. So here's what we get. Exclusive. Dr. Collins blindsided by first questions on takedown email. Dr. Francis Collins, a top U.S. health official, was caught off guard when he was asked for the first time about a report members of Congress issued that revealed new information, including the email Collins sent urging a takedown of the Great Barrington Declaration. Collins, the head of the National Institutes of Health until December 19th of 2021, called for a, quote, a quick and devastating published takedown, end quote, of the Declaration, which called for a more balanced approach to combating the COVID-19 pandemic in an email he sent of October 2020. The email, just days after the document was authored by three epidemiologists, was made public by a congressional panel near the end of 2021. an appearance on Fox just hours after the report was released, he was confronted about the email for the first time. Host Neil Cavuto asked Collins about the report's claims that the White House, under President Donald Trump, made attempts to undermine the COVID response. Collins said he was trying to stay out of the political side of this and declined comment before Cavuto asked about the takedown email. Well, okay, it was that specific, he said. Yes, there were people, particularly Dr. Scott Atlas, who said, don't worry about this business of putting on masks or asking people to isolate themselves or stay physically distanced. Just let it rip and let this virus run through the country until everybody has had it, and then we'll have herd immunity, he added. But the consequences of that would have been hundreds of thousands of additional deaths. That's Francis Collins. That didn't make sense to me. Atlas, of course, was a top health advisor to Donald Trump. The declaration doesn't contain the words let it rip, two of its authors have noted, but rather observe that lockdowns have had a devastating impact on the United States and other countries and urge officials to implement more focused policies that protect the elderly and others more vulnerable to COVID while allowing everyone else to live their lives. It was a completely appropriate, well-founded, scientifically grounded statement. The whole idea of locking down a country, of quarantining the healthy rather than merely the sick, was insanity from the beginning, and yet that is exactly what happened. Collins was not expecting to be questioned about the email he sent to Drs. Anthony Fauci, Clifford Lane, and Lawrence Babbitt, according to the missive obtained by the Epoch Times, which, by the way, I highly recommend as a reliable source of news from Freedom of Information Act requests. Apologies for the ambush, Endo Jotik, an NIH spokeswoman, told Collins in the missive. A producer said the interview would focus on Omicron and your time as director. His surprise was at the issue of the Great Barrington Declaration, which arose in 2020 and about which he has made his position clear on many occasions, was being raised in 2021 as if it were a new issue because of the release of a year-old email. But that's the point. May have happened in 2020, but the email was when we gained knowledge that it had happened. And there are many legal issues where it's when you first learn what had happened that is the crucially significant legal date. Collins spoke out publicly against the declaration in October of 2020. NIH has previously said those who want to learn about why Collins has described the declaration as dangerous should read Wikipedia. Well, Wikipedia, as I've explained many times, is totally politically, it's a Zionist op. Anything that's significant, they're going to alter. It's highly biased in cases of political significance. They wouldn't allow me to correct false statements made about Scholars for 9/11 Truth, even though I founded Scholars for 9/11 Truth. I tried repeatedly and was rebuffed every time. And finally, I asked the editor, rebuffing me, you're not going to let me change it, are you? And he admitted, no, he would not. And then after I participated in a conference on academic freedom, are there limits to inquiry, using JFK, 9/11, and the Holocaust as examples, my Wikipedia entry, which was at the time very detailed, rather thorough, comprehensive, and accurate, was gutted. And they replaced it with a lot of tripe that was a propagandistic attempt to discredit me, a much abbreviated version that lacked the factual details about my research. In fact, what you must appreciate about Wikipedia is the following crucial point. They will not allow the use of original sources. They only rely upon secondary. Now, the first thing you learn in graduate school when you're earning a degree in research, such as a PhD, is you must always rely upon original sources. The reason Wikipedia used secondary is anyone's opinion about the original source then becomes available for their picking and choosing. They want to pick and choose the secondary sources that may distort or discredit the original sources which enables them to do anything they like and make it appear as though it's scientifically documented because they've used secondary instead of original sources. They have done that with me again and again and again. Miles didn't respond when asked if Collins was aware his email had been made public before the interview, and Fox did not respond for comment. Atlas, the former government advisor, meanwhile, said Collins' comments during his appearance were not factually correct. Surprise, surprise. I never once advised a president or anyone else during my time in Washington, and of course that would have been Donald J. Trump, to let the infection spread without mitigation. He advised in various settings to increase protection, especially for high-risk individuals and settings, repeatedly stating in the media and in writing following recommended mitigation. At the same time, the more targeted approach advocated for by Atlas and the Declaration would have saved a massive number of lives while avoiding the death and destruction that has ensued, Atlas asserted, adding, the broad lockdowns advised by Collins, Fauci, and Birx were contrary to science. They failed to stop the spread, failed to protect the elderly from death, killed and destroyed millions. It was the greatest failure of health policy in modern history, about which he is 100% correct. Well, if you wondered why the Democrats went to such lengths to orchestrate with the involvement of the FBI the January 6th intrusion and made it out to be such a big deal, here's the payoff. Listen to this. If you want to begin to plumb the depths of depravity of the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi and the rest, listen to this. Desperate Democrats used Civil War-era section of Constitution to disqualify three popular GOP lawmakers from ballot in midterm election for standing up to voter fraud. GOP lawmakers targeted in legal campaign. Democrats claim sedition. Once again, citing January 6th to silence opposition, Democrats in Wisconsin aim to invoke Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And I'm right here in Wisconsin where this is taking place. The Civil War era section of the Constitution states that those who participate in seditious or treasonous acts cannot run for public office. The lawsuit argues that under their own arbitrary definitions of what constitute treason and sedition, in this case, daring to believe or to assert election fraud had taken place, Senator Ron Johnson, as well as Representative Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald, all, of course, Republicans, should not be allowed to run for re-election. Now, mind you, the Federalists did a brilliant job of dissecting the case for inciting an insurrection. Incitement it requires imminent unlawful activity being advocated, which was not done by Donald Trump, so he was not guilty of incitement. Insurrection involves a deliberate effort to overthrow the government of the United States. No one involved in any of this had the least idea of such a fantasy, which means all of this in every possible way, illegally, morally, is wrong. But politically, the Democrats are trying to exploit the ignorance of the American people. That is what they do. These are corrupt individuals. Corrupt to the max. From the Epoch Times, Democrats have ignored the summer 2022 riots. Remember, we lived through a year of riots, looting, and arson throughout the cities of the United States, where the Democrats were egging them on, encouraging them, and calling for more. We're supposed to forget all about that year of violence, where they were even calling for more of these riots, more of the looting, more of the arson. They are now relentlessly using January 6th as a political cudgel, Ron Johnson has observed in an emailed statement. Now they've used January 6th to file a frivolous lawsuit against me, similar to one dismissed by a court last week. The lawsuit claims the lawmakers use their public positions of authority to illegally foment an atmosphere meant to intimidate and pressure Vice President Pence and Congress to take actions inconsistent with the facts and their duties under the Electoral Count Act and the U.S. Constitution. Let me assure you, this is completely contrived. This is Nancy Pelosi at her sordid best. This woman is a charlatan, a fraud, corrupt, unbelievably, that she is still in office, a disgrace to the Congress of the United States, and a person who abuses the American people from her position of authority. So what you have going on here is projection. It's the Democrats who are using their public position of authority to illegally foment and create an atmosphere to intimidate the American people, the American voters, to take actions contrary to their own interests. Clearly, the Democrats know they cannot beat the incumbents fair and square and therefore resort to dirty legal tricks. This is not the first time they've done it. A few months ago, they tried the same with Representative Madison Cawthorn. The attempt to remove Representative Cawthorn was thrown out by a court, as presumably these will be as well. However, that the Democrats stooped to such desperate and low levels in order to win elections while simultaneously claiming the unlawful party is the opposition is insane. They use every trick in the book to remove their opposition while decrying January 6th as an evil and traitorous attack on democracy. Newsflash, the Confederates about whom Section 3 was written were Democrats. Democrats. Meanwhile, and this you're not going to hear in the mainstream either, Joe Biden's Supreme Court nominee has a child sex crime problem. Justice Stephen Breyer's retirement handed Joe Biden his first chance to remake the United States Supreme Court. But now events may fly off the rails. Biden's Supreme Court nominee has a child sex crime problem. Biden promised to consider only race and gender picking his Supreme Court justice, which, by the way, is in violation of the laws against discrimination. You cannot make judgments for positions based on race, and yet he ruled out everyone who was not black. Biden followed through his affirmative action promise, selecting Washington, D.C. Court of Appeals Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson as the first black female Supreme Court nominee. Democrats hoped Judge Jackson's race and gender would cower Republicans into voting for confirmation. That ain't going to happen. Missouri Republican Senator Josh Hawley, whom I admire greatly, dug up disturbing academic and judicial writings where Judge Jackson took a soft stance on child porn predators. I've been researching the record of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, reading her opinions, articles, interviews, and speeches, Senator Hawley wrote. I've noticed an alarming pattern when it comes to Judge Jackson's treatment of sex offenders, especially those preying on children. I've been researching the record of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. Hawley described academic writings where Jackson questioned the idea of registering sex offenders for fear it would stigmatize them. But that's the whole point of registering them. They deserve to be stigmatized. So how can she be questioning the idea of registering sex offenders because it will stigmatize them? That is the whole point. As a member of the U.S. Sentencing Commission, moreover, Jackson pushed for lighter sentences for predators convicted of possessing child porn. It gets worse, Senator Hawley stated. As a member of the U.S. Sentencing Commission, Judge Jackson advocated for drastic change in how the law treats sex offenders by eliminating the existing mandatory minimum sentences for child porn. As a judge, Ketanji Brown Jackson has put her soft on child porn ideology into action, consistently handing out lighter sentences to villains felons convicted on child porn charges than the federal guidelines call for. On the federal bench, Hawley explains, Judge Jackson put her troubling views into action in every single child porn case for which we can find records. Judge Jackson deviated from the federal sentencing guidelines in favor of child porn offenders. Some rhinos, like Utah Senator Mitt Romney, have expressed a willingness to eventually vote for Ketanji Brown Jackson. A vote for her was already a vote for abortion on demand, radical gun control, rewriting the Second Amendment, online censorship, and restricting religious liberty. But now a vote for Ketanji Brown Jackson put senators on the record as supporting lighter sentences for child porn providers. Pretty serious stuff. Before we reach the break, I want to mention, I've done two interviews now with a private investigator, actually three. A private investigator by name of Brian Davidson, who has done brilliant work doing research into Sandy Hook. I first interviewed him a week ago Sunday about the fact that he's mastered all these internet research skills. So after the interview, I thought I would try him out and send him a photograph where you can see a crime scene investigation vehicle in the parking lot at Sandy Hook, where there's crime scene tape up before the crime has been committed because the windows in classroom 10 are not shot out as they would present it as having been during the event. Well, we did a subsequent interview and now a second, and he has been digging in with startling result. When I interviewed Brian, discovered he was a master of internet investigative tools, including regarding photographs. I sent him the single most important from Sandy Hook without any indication of where or when it was taken, and that it was from Sandy Hook. He did not know. We did a first discussion of his findings, which preliminarily was that it had been taken the evening of the 13th before the event. Today he explains he had the date wrong, but reveals what he found when he dug deeper, which makes the case for the event having been staged with the complicity of the Connecticut State Police all the stronger. Getting experts to review this crime scene is making a powerful difference in validating our earlier conclusion that this was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Now, I put this interview up on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, late last night, about 10 p.m. Central. And yet, before I crashed, which was about 12:30 or 1, it already had 3,000 views. This morning when I checked, it already has over 6,000. You are going to be astonished by what you will learn there. Go to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, after the show. Meanwhile, I want to announce I'm going to do an online course, Conspiracy 101 on Critical Thinking and Conspiracy Theories. Here's a pitch about it. Check it out. Having offered courses in logic, critical thinking, and scientific reasoning for 35 years, from the University of Kentucky to the University of Virginia, North Carolina, Chapel Hill, New College of the University of South Florida, the Duluth campus, the University of Minnesota, I want to create the opportunity to give you the principles that need to be applied to sort things out in terms of a course online on critical thinking and scientific reasoning, where the instructor will be yours truly, Jim Fetzer, PhD, philosophy professor emeritus. Here's the course information, course schedule, 15 one-hour seminars, Wednesdays, 8 to 10 p.m. Central Time, which will begin on 6 April and end on 13 July 2022. This course may be repeated. Registration, $150 for the course or $10 a session. Course materials provided online without charge. Course description, an introduction to critical thinking using conspiracy theories as research illustrations. For everyone who needs to master the ability to think things through and avoid being played by false narratives. Course materials provided online and includes blogs, essays, and videos, and even a book or two. Meanwhile, the syllabus, 6 April, Introduction to the Nature of Thought, Signs and Binds. 13 April, Studying Language, Syntax, Semantics and Pragmatics. 20 April, Arguments, Deductive, Inductive and Abductive. 27 April, Informal Fallacies, Part 1, Fallacies of Ambiguity. For me, Informal Fallacies, Part 2, Fallacies of Relevance. 11 May, Applying Scientific Reasoning to Conspiracy Theories. 18 May, The Assassination of JFK, The Use of Fabricated Evidence. 25 May, The Atrocities of 9/11, Violating the Laws of Physics. 1 June, The Moon Landings, How We Know We Didn't Go. 8 June, Senator Paul Wellstone of Minnesota, Accident or Assassination. 15 June, Sandy Hook, Designing Events for Emotional Impact. 22 June, Nice, Orlando, Parkland, Charlottesville, Las Vegas. 27 June, Pizzagate, Is It Myth or Is It Real? Disturbing to the Max. 6 July, The Pandemic and the Vax, The Greatest Hoax of All. 13 July, The Official History of World War II, Politics Trumps Science. Registration is open. Go to mixandstream.com/critical-thinking.html. The first 10 to register will have direct links to the chat to me and can offer questions and comments as we proceed in real time on behalf of the class as a representative sample. This may be an opportunity that you do not want to miss. When I would have my first meeting with the class, I'd explain to them if they come to the university to take only one course, this was the course they ought to take, because it would make such a difference in the rest of their lives to avoid being played, taken advantage of, to determine when individuals are using fallacious arguments to deceive, mislead, and cheat. This is something I think you don't want to miss. I look forward to seeing you there. I got to tell you, this revelation about Sandy Hook by a real professional digging in is absolutely stunning stuff. So I encourage you after the show to go to BitChute channel Jim Fetzer. Check it out. It had, as I observed earlier this morning, over 6,000 hits. We'll be right back after the break and take your calls.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Yeah.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I just checked, and the number of views is up to over 7,500, and I think it's going to grow exponentially. This is really stunning stuff. Meanwhile, we're glad to take your calls. The number 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Another report I hadn't mentioned already is spectators screaming at a record-setting trans swimmer, saying what we're all thinking, namely, you are a cheater. Let me give you the bottom line on this wretched soul. This guy, now ranked number one in women's swimming, clocked in at a distant number 462 as a male swimmer. So where his rise to the top of female collegiate swimming has led some to question the future of women's sports entirely, with a new wave of biologically male transgender athletes increasingly dominating. This is just insane. I mean, you think about this and you ask yourself, what has happened to the United States that we could be this corrupt, this irresponsible, this colossally stupid? We have a call from Bruce in Texas. Bruce, join the conversation.
Yeah, it's just another day in clown world, isn't it? You know, I remember when the East German female swimmers, they were kind of looked upon the style scorn because they were taking, I guess, some kind of steroids. But I guess you can just put on a wig and have all the male testosterone you want, you know? Just put on a wig and say you're a woman and then go for it. Hey, I wanted to see if Paul calls back in. I appreciate what he said the other day. This is a situation at RBN. David Duke guest hosted the John Stettmiller show, the National Intel Report, last Monday. And from what I've heard, that they're getting pressure now because of that. And so that's why you have these people that are, you know, they'll call in once in a while and they'll start off with, you know, get the consensus going that I'm one of you, that, yeah, Putin's based and all this. And, oh, but it's not the Jews, though. Just make sure you don't say Jews, guys. You know, that's just one scoundrel that calls in and you know, and they're so influencing the network, you know. John Stadmiller read the entire protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion on air. So if they go down this road, they're going to drift away from what he what do you envision the network to be, a foundation for free speech? And it's sad, I didn't steer there, you know.
That's all extremely interesting, Bruce. In fact, I've interviewed David Duke. He's a very smart guy. He's not a racist. I wouldn't even describe him as an anti-Semite. I would describe him as doing his best to get the truth out so the world can understand the role that the tribe has played in world history. I mean, there are others who are seeking to do that as well. But David Duke has been demonized and massively attacked. My very first radio show was on RBN, and ironically, John Stadtmiller fired me on the air, called me up in the middle of a discussion where I was explaining why Hillary's sexual orientation, whether she were a lesbian or not, should not be determinative of her role in politics. Stadtmiller called me up and asked me, Fetzer, he says, I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to tell me the truth. Are you a liberal? And I said, well, yes, John. As I explained in the very opening of my very first show, I believe in the Social Security network, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment insurance, workman compensation. I believe that everyone deserves representation, not just the rich. He fired me on the spot. That's amazing. I'm far more critical today, of course, of Hillary, who I regard as one of the most corrupt individuals ever to, you know, roam the face of Earth. But there it was. I think Stadtmiller did a whole lot of good. And, of course, he's gone now. His recent death, his recent departure, no doubt is going to have consequences. Meanwhile, Bruce, you hope that Paul would call, and here he is. Paul, join the conversation.
I hear and I obey. So you'll find this interesting. I have no other way to verify except to accept the word of someone who has become a friend over the years, you know, calling into your show and, you know, other places. You know, I've been contacted by people that wanted to, you know, engage with me in one way or another. And, you know, I've made a few what I call friends or acquaintances here along the way. So I'm not going to name this person, but after my show on after I called you on Friday and said the things I said, one of these people contacted me and they told me they knew for a fact, because they knew the man in person, that John Moore was basically CIA. And, you know, I said, well, how do you know this? Because he told me. And so this person I've known for several years now and I had many, many phone conversations with, and I have no reason to suspect he would be making this up or lying. It served no purpose because there's nothing out of the ordinary or strange that has ever occurred between us. But because he heard my call, and, you know, he often listens to the show, and he said, yeah, John Moore's not to be trusted. You know, he admits he's ex-Green Beret. You know, he says he was a homicide detective. That was part of his career. And he allows or says all kinds of stupid, ridiculous things on his show. And, of course, he countenances, you know, the Holocaust. So, you know, what is he worth? I mean, the man has obviously either not looked into any of this or he's indeed an operative. So that's what I have been told.
Well, that's very interesting. You know, with these recent developments, here's what I wrote to John Moore, which he's declined to follow up. John, this is entitled The Other Side of the Sandy Hook Story, dated March 8th. John. Tried to call in today, but too late to make it on with you. A friend informed me you had taken my name in vain yesterday, so I want to reach out and explain the other side of the story. My first radio show was on RBN, where Danny heard an interview on another show and wanted me to join the team. Stattmuller would later fire me on the air for observing that Hillary as a candidate should not be judged on the basis of her sexual preferences, which he didn't like. What I like is that you are obviously a very substantial and serious fellow who's open to exploring controversial and complex issues thoroughly and in detail. You are my kind of guy. I am told that you said you couldn't imagine why anyone could still doubt that Sandy Hook was real. Where I wanted to call and ask for the source of your opinion. As the editor and as a contributor to Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, it was a FEMA drill to promote gun control, 2015, second edition, 2016. I know something about the matter. My guess is that your observation was inspired by one of the many stories about Elizabeth Williamson in her new book, attacking Sandy Hook skeptics, which, alas, is simply riddled with falsehoods, exaggerations, and deliberate lies. She claims, for example, Fetzer provided no evidence in support of his false claims, in particular, that the death certificate for Noah Posner was fake. But that's nonsense. Notably, none of the lawsuits brought against Alex Jones, Wolfgang Halbig, or me, or any other judicial procedure has established that anyone died during the event, which appears to be the objective. Keep evidence out of court. They were all dispatched on the basis of procedural other technical issues, where mine was the only one that focused on whether or not anyone had died at Sandy Hook. In my case, I was sued by Lenny Posner for four sentences in a 400-page book with 13 contributors, including six PhD professors, where we established that the school was closed by 2008. There were no students there, and it was a FEMA drill, technically a mass casualty exercise involving children, where we even found the manual for the exercise and published it as Appendix A. I am attaching a copy for your review as well as my petition to review to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which they have now denied. I have 90 days to submit a writ of certiorari to the U.S. Supreme Court from the date of denial, 16 February 2022. The court would not permit me to introduce evidence on the ground that it was not relevant to the truth or accuracy of the uncertified death certificate that Lenny had given to my co-author Kelly Watt, which said the decedent had died at Sandy Hook of multiple gunshot wounds. You figure it out. And then when focusing on the death certificate alone, I introduced the reports of two forensic document experts that it was a fake. The court simply set them aside as, quote, someone else's opinion and ruled against me when it had to go to a jury. This was a deprivation of my constitutional rights under color of law. Everyone simply assumes that what they read in the papers is true, but the facts are entirely different. For detailed substantiation of what I'm explaining here, check out jamesfetzer.org, Defending the First and Second Amendment. That's on my blog. A review of the book was published by Brian Wright years ago. Mike Adams was stunned when the book was banned by Amazon.com. That's a month after its publication and having sold nearly 500 copies. Kevin Barrett was there for my trial for damages, and Ron Avery has nailed the irresponsible conduct of the Court of Appeals for District 4. So I write to suggest that you feature me and Ron for an extended discussion of this case, because I have been deprived of my constitutional rights under color of law as a man committed to liberty. I know you care about the First and Second and Fifth Amendments, where the latter guarantees that no one may be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process, which was grossly violated in this case. If allowed to stand, any judge could make up his own facts and convict anyone of any crime they like through the abuse of summary judgment. I hope you agree and feature us on your show. And I gave my name, rank, serial number, link to my curriculum vitae. A friend wrote and told me, excellent letter. Now we'll find out if he's Zog, controlled, just ignorant, or never checked out the actual evidence. He would write back to me and say that he was going to decline. Let me see if I can find his actual response. But, Paul, what I'm telling you is, here it is. John Moore, March 16th. James, Alex Jones was soon be paying a large sum of money for claiming no children died at Sandy Hook. I will soon have the mother of one of the murdered children as a guest on my show. Regards, John. Your take, Paul? Paul, are you there?
If Paul's not there, I'll chime in because I can't stay.
Hey, I'm here. I'll give you. Just give me a second. You can talk, Bruce. I was going to say, damn, Jim, you are king of reading stuff on the air. You know, it just goes to show you. See, the thing is, you know, we're not in a real world system such as the court system, and I think John Moore is an example of one of these people. Where if he's not an operative, then he does not deserve to be considered, you know, shall we say, a normally, you know, cognitively intellectual, you know, functioning person. I mean, I kind of jumbled my thoughts there, but you know what I'm saying. Any man who receives a letter like that would, with a normal, shall we say, mindset, would go, oh, okay, yeah, let's go ahead and explore this a little. I can't claim to know everything. I mean, even I have admitted that I don't know everything. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, I was going to say, John Moore, and there's others, there's plenty like him. He strikes me as a grifter. He's there to make some, you know, sell some products using the platform as a truther, you know. And so he's just, he's showing some intellectual cowardice and dishonesty there with the champ. And that's sad, yeah. But that's, yeah, and I disagree on some subjects with you, Jim, and perhaps I'm wrong, perhaps I'm right. I don't know. I don't demand that you know, everybody thinks in lockstep, but what I do require is intellectual honesty. And when you look at the Jewish participation in our government and the pharmaceutical industry, the COVID-19, through our foreign policy, you got this Zelensky, who's a Jewish comedian, who dresses up in latex and high heels, and spreads his butt cheeks on TV, you know. You know, he's making a green screen appearance like he's in Ukraine. It's actually in some studio. I don't know if you all see that or not, but it came out over the weekend. This guy's a fraud, you know, and they're inching, demanding that boys go and kill themselves for this New World Order project they got going on. You know, you can't say that there's not a Jewish, I call it a Khazarian mafia, for lack of a better term. You know, I don't think that, you know, the shop owner down the street is involved in it. But you got to, you know, call it as you see it. And if, you know, if you can't do that, then you're not really a truther. You're just another mouthpiece. You're just someone who's blowing their own horn on air with an agenda. So appreciate your honesty, Jim. And talk to y'all later. Thanks.
Well, I'm always glad to hear from you, Bruce. Paul, I think that what you were told is consistent with my experience with the guy. I mean, I reached out to him. I think that was a very positive, complimentary letter. I even said I thought he was my kind of guy. But someone who's unwilling to respond to an entreaty where I lay out so much of the evidence, and while you weren't looking at the letter as I was reading it, it had links to every one of those articles. It had links to the book review. It had links to Mike Adams' report about the book banning. It had links to Kevin Barrett's review of the trial for damages. It had links to Ron Avery's assessment of the how the Court of Appeals had to convolute all the rules. I mean, just to give you an illustration, it's required in summary judgment that you must, in order to decide, there can be no disputed issue. But here I had the two document examiners asserting that the document was fake, which I'm, by the way, not allowed to reassert. I'm under a court order that I cannot reassert the sentences over which I was sued. I'm just describing how it went without reaffirming it. Which meant that it had to go to a jury. There was a disputed fact here, the central fact, the authenticity of the death certificate.
No. And the fact there nobody. Okay, just for the fun of it. So, you know, discussing the case on the air with me is fine,
but it's a little beside the point here about this whole John Moore thing. And I don't necessarily want to stick to that, but what I can't help but also believe it's personal too. In other words, a man who takes the time to write such a lengthy, thoughtful letter, right, full of information, deserves more of a response than that. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like it reminds me of something a friend of mine told me way over 20 years ago now. He's gone. I really miss him. A dear friend that we saw eye to eye on so many things. And I remember what he said to me one time. He goes, "Paul, I have ceased expecting anything from anyone, so therefore I am rarely disappointed." You know, this had become his philosophy because of the lack of the mediocrity that exists in most of the human race and just the lack of what I call, the fullness of personality and character that it's unfortunate that lacking in a lot of people. So, you know, I don't know who this Moore character is, but I just don't think there's a lot to him, to be honest with you. I think there's a lot more to Michael Rivero, but of course he's got a lot of these glitches and blind spots too. And he's a vaccine taker, right? I mean, to me, the minute anybody that's in this line of work, shall we put it that way, that's on the air, that has looked into conspiracies, that has had guests on, how could you go and do that? How could you go and get a vaccine and then, talk about, it's not a good idea. I mean, he's not like positive about the vaccine, but he admitted that he took one and, he gave the reasons for it, which, anybody can empathize with, wanted to go visit, somebody, but anyway, so Jim, just so you know, real quick, I wouldn't give you the floor again because I know you always have a lot to say, but this court system, I had an advantage to see myself many times, many, many years ago on much less important issues, but I saw and then would subsequently read, how it's all laid out and how it works, and it's designed to keep you and to keep evidence and to keep real law and principles and the Constitution out of the courts. I had a judge say to my face more than once, but this judge, when I had a police officer on the stand, I was about to ask, I had several questions, one of which would easily be called the $64,000 question, because once he answers it yes or no, they're trapped. Well, I built up and I asked this question. The judge said, "I'm not going to allow you to answer the question." What?
Well,
I also asked one time, one more thing, and then I'll go.
Sure.
Another time I asked the judge, "Does the Constitution govern these proceedings here today?" This judge also said, "I'm not going to answer that question." See, this is what they do. They can just make it up, and it's a world of their own. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to follow up on your mentioning of Michael Rivero. Did I already tell you that I wrote to him as well? And he came back to me. And this was, laying out some of these new developments. And he just said he's devoting himself to stopping World War III. That was all he said, which led me to think that Michael Rivero's like Gerald Ford. He can't walk and chew gum at the same time. I mean, the guy has a vast audience. And is all he going to talk about Ukraine? Here's a major development about Sandy Hook. That's of significant to the American people and a reflection of the state of the judicial system in America. And he's not going to pick up on it because he wants to address Ukraine. I mean, I thought that was equally frivolous and revealing as what you have so astutely delineated as John Moore's pathetic response in the face of all that evidence. Yeah.
It's insulting. In other words, you compose something that is so full of content, many paragraphs, very thoughtful. Now, no, someone else is not obligated to match you word for word, of course, but to just give you a dismissive, it just reminds me of personal content. I have something behind a lot of my thoughts and feelings and, so forth. And there's been many times where I've communicated this to people either even before the computer, in writing, and you get like so little back, so you just it makes you not want to give out sometimes. You get like a one sentence response or you know, a few words to something that you just put so much time and effort into. If Michael Rivera was real, he would say, you know what, let's see if we can work something out. Yeah, maybe this will be a good idea to get this, you know, discussed. But no, it's just a weird response, in my opinion.
Yeah, hey, Jim, I appreciate all your comments. Yeah, Bruce, go ahead, quick.
Yeah. Michael Rivera had Richard Gage on, architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, and he opened up the phones for calls. And I said, well, how does a tower get demolished by thermite unless you fill it from top to bottom, because the energy potential of thermite is not enough to accomplish the damage we saw that day. It had to be a nuclear. And right then, he hung up on
me. He hung up on you. Yeah, I published, I got a piece about, on my blog, you might find of interest, on C-SPAN, Richard Gage leaves 9/11 Truth in a time warp, because I and a chemical engineer by the name of T. Mark Hightower published three, not one, not two, but three articles debunking nanothermite back in 2011, which made the key point that for an explosive to demolish concrete, it must have a detonation velocity of 3,200 meters per second or greater. To destroy concrete, 6,100 meters or greater. But the highest detonation velocity attributed to nanothermite is only 895 meters per second. In other words, you can't get there from there. Thank you, Paul. Thank you. Bruce, those were excellent calls. Let me remind everyone, on my blog, you can find a blog, Conspiracy 101, Critical Thinking and Conspiracy Theory. Check it out. And you may appreciate the photograph of me at dinner with Jesse Ventura and Vince Bugliosi, who were on opposite sides of JFK, of course, where Vince had just received an honorary degree from the Hamlin School of Law. And if you scroll down at your bottom, you'll see a piece I made back in March of 2018, why I, Jim Fetzer, am a conspiracy theorist. I hope you'll think about it. I spent 35 years offering courses in critical thinking at all those colleges and universities, and I'd like to share it with you if you have the opportunity. I think you're going to find it a very worthwhile investment. So bear it in mind. The course won't begin until 6 April, so there's time to contemplate. It's 1 hour per week, Wednesdays, 8 to 9 p.m. Central Time. Again, Paul, Bruce, thank you for calling, and everyone for being here back on Wednesday with the event.
This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle, live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, the perfect triangle with perfect Giuseppe triangle, perfect from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict. But